All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Veteran Trash Talk Female Warrior Edition. My name is Leah Day, and I have the beautiful Elizabeth here to chat with us today. So excited to tell Elizabeth's story today and really hopefully inspire some of our female veterans who may have gone through something similar and know that you are not alone. So Elizabeth, I'm not going to get into your story because that's your job. So I'm just going to say welcome. Thank you so much for coming and take it away.
Thanks. Yeah. So I'll do a quick intro to who I am. So I grew up an Army brat. My dad was Airborne Ranger, infantry, all that good stuff. Met my mom in Spain when he was there for a two-year program through the Army. They got married. We moved around a ton. I was a swimmer growing up. My older sister, Nerea, she got recruited to go swim at West Point. She was class of 2006. The summer we, you know, went to drop her off, I was like, oh, wow, this place is something. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I also kind of knew myself well enough to know if I don't go to a school like this, I probably won't go to class. And, you know, and so I got recruited to go to West Point for swimming too. It was great and bad in the same token because my sister was there. So if people liked my sister, it was great for me. If they didn't, it was awful for me. I got hazed because she was my sister. So all kinds of good stuff. But so I ended up getting recruited to go to West Point for swimming. Only applied there in one other school. So I knew kind of where my life was going to go. And so my story kind of starts sophomore year. You know, to be honest, I can still, you know, nitpick all the reasons why I made it through Beast Barracks, which is your first summer of training. I mean, I remember, you know, Tim Dunn pushing my ass up this hill because I was just struggling. I remember Javi San Juan being the first person I met. I mean, all these amazing guys that you meet, female friends. I mean, just that, you know, friendships that take on, you know, here we are 20 years later, still friends, right? But so sophomore year, I was dating a guy named Tom. And, you know, at the time at West Point, you wouldn't lock your doors. So we have this honor code, a cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. And we really lived that. I mean, you had to leave your door open every morning. You could legitimately leave $100 on your desk and you'd know it was going to be there when you got back. That was just kind of the mentality of what West Point was for me. And so it was November 4th, 2004. And, you know, the morning before, one of the female firsties, which is a senior, came to my room, told my roommate Emily and I, hey, you know, tonight's branch night, just lock your door when you go to sleep. And branch night at West Point is where all the seniors get to go and learn what branch they're going to be. And it's a huge event, huge night. And then everyone goes and drinks afterwards. Once you like get, so you're either celebrating or like commiserating, right? And so just to be on the safe side, because every room looks exactly the same, it's all in the barracks, you know, she just kind of warned us, hey, just lock your door, just to be on the safe side. And so we kind of looked at each other and we were like, we know every guy in our company. We trust everyone. We're not locking our door. That's stupid. So sure enough, we don't lock our doors. And I just remember being asleep and thinking, I'm thirsty. So I open my eyes and there's a silhouette of a man standing over me. And so I kind of flinched because like, that is not what you expect.
Right.
And I shit you not, he like did a combat, like he was like leaning over me, did a combat roll. It's pitch dark in our room, just the light from like the outside coming in. He put his shower shoes on and just strolled out the door and like held the doorknob as he pulled it. And I was like, so I turned to my roommate. I'm like, Emily, did you see that guy? And I like woke her up. She obviously had no idea. She's like, no, you were probably dreaming. So I remember reaching back, grabbing my clock. It was 4:54. So I had swim practice that morning and I just thought, well, I'm still thirsty. So I get up, and before I get up, as I'm laying there, I look down and I realize my shirt was completely pulled up. And I know that I didn't do that because one, it's a twin size bed. There's not a lot of room to move. But I remember because we had always left our window open when it was cold. We liked sleeping with it cold. I had tucked my shirt into my core squad sweats and pulled the drawstring just because I didn't want like air to get through. Like specifically remember doing that the night before. So put my shoes on, walk outside, and I look, and at this point I'm like shaking. I'm like, someone, I know someone was just in my room, and that was so weird. And just like my bubble was assaulted, right? Like you weren't supposed to be in my personal space. And it didn't even occur to me it could be my boyfriend, because he would have just like, one, he'd never done that. And two, I knew it wasn't him. We was like, go to the bathroom, grab a drink of water, come home, come back. Yeah, come back. And that's when I locked my door, because I was just so at this point, it like took a few minutes and I was like, what just happened? You know, like someone broke into my room essentially. So that next morning, I told my boyfriend at the time and his roommate, Rob. I was like, guys, I'm just freaked out. Someone was in my room last night, lifted my shirt. I don't know who it was. And so, talked to my roommate about it. I skipped morning practice that day. I was like, I'm going to get in trouble. I know that's going to happen. Go to class. And I was raised by amazing parents who I feel very close to. I can't remember if I called them or emailed them or texted them, but my dad right away was like, you need to tell someone, this is not okay. This is, my mom, everything, super supportive. And as it turns out, so Rob had sent an email to all the guys in our company. And it said, hey, someone was in my friend's room last night while she was sleeping. She's really uncomfortable with it. You need to tell her who it was before she goes to the TAC. And the TAC is an officer responsible for each company. So my roommate and I had the hour off before lunch. And so we went to his room, and to this day, I've told him before just like how instrumental he was and like me feeling safe afterwards. But so I told him and I was like, Clay, this is what happened. Someone was in my room. He lifted my shirt. He walked, like, I don't know what he was going to do. I woke up. And the first thing he said to me was, I am so sorry this happened to you in my company. And I was kind of like, oh no, it's not your fault. And he's like, no, but it's my responsibility to keep everyone in this company safe. And that's West Point's job, right? Like, this is supposed to be a safe space. Right. So my story is different in the sense that I had that support from start to finish, but I also acknowledge it was because I very clearly knew I did nothing wrong, right? So that's where I think a lot of women's stories differ, where it's like, well, did I put myself here? Was it? I knew for a fact, like, you came into my space. I didn't care who it was. Right. It was wrong on so many levels. And so this guy, clearly not the brightest tool. He responded to the email and sent it directly to me and said, hey, it was me in your room last night. I have trouble sleeping. It calms me down to watch pretty girls while they sleep.
I mean, what?
Yeah. And I knew him. He was in my company. He was my classmate. So it wasn't one of the firsties that went out and was drinking. It's my classmate who in the middle, in the early morning hours, decided to come into my room because he was having a hard time sleeping. Like, I just couldn't wrap my head around it, started bawling. My company commander was in my room at the time. This guy starts calling my room phone. So he picks it up and he's like, you're gonna meet me in the back of formation. CID gets involved. So CID called me down, interrogated me for a while, which I understand the concept of trying to like poke holes in stories, but it initially started out and it was like accusatory to me. It was like, well, why weren't you wearing a sweater? And it's like, excuse me, if I want to sleep naked, I should be able to sleep naked. But at the end of it, my story to this day is probably to the T exactly the same way I said it on November 4th, 2004. So all that to say, 6 months goes by. And again, because I did nothing wrong, and West Point's like high school where the word gets around really quickly, but I had the support of everyone from my classmates to, the company leadership to West Point as a whole. And it worked really, really well. He ended up going to Leavenworth because as it turns out, three other women came forward after I turned him in and said, he did the same thing to me and worse. And so I'm going to be honest, I've struggled for a really long time resenting those women for not turning him in when he did it to them. And it's, I've got a long journey of like mental health and going to therapy. And only recently did I realize, there are a lot of layers to this onion for a lot of different people involved. And so me being resentful to them, I don't know what they were going through. I don't know how tough it was for them. And so it's not necessarily fair to put any kind of responsibility on these women who they were dealing with their own trauma in their own way. But looking back, really the only thing I can say, because honestly, the system worked for me the way, and I try to tell women, men, anyone, report them because the system is built to work for you. I think the one thing, especially now, because I work for a mental health solution company, is I wish I would have been offered tools and resources to deal with that trauma. Because I mean, even until recently, I was like, oh, but he didn't rape me. I don't know if he touched me. All true, but it affected me to this day. I'm a very, very light sleeper. And from the moment that happened to when they implemented the door locking policy, which was nearly a year later, I did not sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone opened a door, it could have been all the way down the hall. I would wake up and I would just lay in bed and wait for their feet to walk past the door. Cause I was mortified. I was just so scared. And so I'd say the one thing that I never sought it out because I didn't want to be perceived as weak. And I didn't want people to think that like, oh, she's being dramatic, which in my family, I'm the dramatic one. Right. So I went the opposite route. And so I didn't seek out mental health or behavioral health support. I didn't know I needed it at the time. And so I think one thing we could do better as a community, as an army, as a military is, hey, something happened to you. You reported it. Mm-hmm. We're going to have you go to 6 therapy sessions. And after that, if you want to keep going, great. If you don't, at least you got there. Right. And maybe we can work through some things, but I think at least for people who do report it, to have that follow through with some sort of process or policy in terms of like, here's the help that is available to you and you can use it or not use it, but for at least 2 or 3 or 6 sessions, we think it's protocol. If nothing else, make the stigma go away by saying like, oh, it's just protocol.
Right.
So, I mean, he ended up going to Leavenworth for 4 years. He was a registered sex offender for, I think it was till like 2018. I was a virgin at the time. I'd never had, he essentially took away my sense of like security and safety, both at West Point and as like a woman. Right. So it took me a really, really long time to even be able to say that it was a traumatic event, because compared to what he did to the other women, it, in my mind, I was like, ah, well, it's no big deal, but it was a big deal. And so I think we as women, as a community, we need to not try to downplay what someone's trauma might be and compare it to other traumas, because everyone just perceives things super differently. So if I can impose or help anyone understand it, it's not a measure of like how bad was the trauma. It was a trauma. It was an event that should have never happened and did. And I think it, changes the course of where your life goes. And like, you know about that. I mean, your life would probably be very different had you not gone through what you did.
Like somewhat sane, but
yeah.
Well, but there's some great points that you're making here, Elizabeth. And, number one, just reiterating what you're saying is like, there's no definition of trauma or a traumatic event. It's all in how we deal with it. Like what happens with us, like, some soldiers come back from combat and they can compartmentalize and they seem pretty okay.
Sure.
Dealing with some crazy stuff. And some soldiers deal with hardly anything like outside of the wire and they still have PTSD. And I know there's a huge stigma, and you can relate that back to sexual trauma and sexual harassment, that sort of thing as well. It's not about the event or the things that happen to you, but it's how you are handling it. And sure, you can't necessarily control that. I know like that was my case too, of like, well, I'll be fine. You kind of belittle it, mm-hmm. You might compare it to other people and what they deal with, or you just say, well, I'm tougher than that or whatever it is you're telling yourself. And so that you don't maybe seek out that help. And I think too, especially for females, we talked about is that, we already have an uphill battle in the military anyway. And yep. It's, well, I don't need something else pushing me down, or I don't need something else to like, oh, there she is, the troublemaker, Yeah,
the drama queen.
Right. Yes. So, and that is, it's an issue. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. But I love your idea of having something implemented that's like, hey, you dealt with the traumatic experience, you have to do XYZ now.
Sure.
And I think that would help a lot with like the command team down, because, sometimes the command team is the reason why the groups don't get help. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes, like in your case, you had a very supportive command team, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I want that to be the case for everybody, but as of right now, it isn't.
Right. You
know? So definitely implementing that, I think, would be a huge help. But I think for women who are watching and listening to this, you need to know, number one, report it, like Elizabeth said. Mm-hmm. And then number two, like, even if you have to go outside of your command or seek alternative resources, mm-hmm. make sure that you're talking to somebody and getting that help. It's so imperative because you, yeah. especially if you are, you know, you're still wearing that uniform, you probably don't realize how much it's affecting you.
Right? Yeah. And it might take years. I mean, I remember as I was transitioning to get out of the Army, I was just having a hard time. And literally the Army had been my life, right? I mean, growing up as a kid, going to West Point, being an officer, it was who I was. And so despite the fact that I was the one who chose to get out, I was having a tough time with it. But I was like, but I shouldn't be, right? Because I'm an officer. I've got my shit together. I don't have financial problems. My family's amazing. I have a great support system. I literally looked at my life and I was like, it was almost like a, how dare you, right? Like, you don't need help. You shouldn't need help. Like, almost like a what's wrong with you. And it just goes to show, I mean, you can be an officer in a great family with great friends and still have stuff to work through, whether it be from a past sexual trauma or just as a mental health, like from a mental health perspective. I mean, it's like, I was having a conversation with my CEO, Chris, the other day on Veteran Trash Talk, just about how your brain is connected to your body. Imagine you trying to go out and run a marathon with a migraine. You're not going to be able to do it. Well, but you can't see a migraine. No, it's in your brain, right? Like stuff like that. Or like, you know, you're having a bad day. You're most likely not going to perform your best if you're having a lot of issues with your spouse at home or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just you dealing with your past. And so if we don't address the stuff that's going on in our heads, mm-hmm. it literally is going to impact the rest of your life. You talked about it the other day, how you had chronic pain and you were like, they couldn't figure out why. And it's because literally everything is connected from your brain all the way down. And so if we don't address that by saying mental health, seeking mental health is okay. Using resiliency tools is okay. And almost celebrating, oh, you took care of your ankle injury, just like you're taking care of, you know, a mental health injury. Cause it is an injury. You can work on it. It can get better. But I also recognize, like, my situation was pretty clear cut. I had an email from him. He admitted to it. I get that there are women that have been in situations where they're like, wow, but I invited him to my room. I really did just think we were going to watch a movie. And so how, like, I can't bring it up because it just shows how naive I was or whatever. It doesn't matter though, because at the end of the day, if you said no and he pushed, if he said no and something happened, or if you were just very, very, very uncomfortable, even if that means you're not going to report it as like a permanent thing, go talk to somebody and work through that. Cause if not, it will affect everything else. And for years, I mean, this happened in 2004, it's now 2021. And I only just now, maybe last month with my therapist, was like, oh yeah, no, I guess it was kind of a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
Right.
So.
Right. But I mean, I want to commend you on finally being able to release that and start talking about it to your therapist mm-hmm. and sharing with us, because it's something that, I mean, it's so needed. It's very much needed. And we found that out, you know, Nick and the boys found that out through creating Veteran Trash Talk to help put an end to soldier suicide. And then all these females were coming forward and they're like, hey, so this is what happened. And, you know, those guys, they really had no clue about that side of it because they didn't really deal with females so much, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, I feel like for the majority of my career, like anytime I dealt with combat arms, mostly they respected.
Super professional. Yeah.
I have a few instances where they didn't. But for the most part, they were just kind of like, I mean, you know, they didn't want me coming into their unit and like yelling at them, telling them what to do, you know, but if we ended up working together and I could hold my own, then they respected me and that was it, you know, it wasn't really, there wasn't a matter of like trying to earn their respect. it was everybody else, like the people that you work with on a daily basis and that sort of thing. But I'm really glad that we're able to start getting the word out. And I really want to encourage women to start talking to somebody. I mean, we do have our community with Veteran Trash Talk that you can talk to any of us about. I definitely recommend a therapist just because.
Yeah. Or you know what? It's like I said, your peers, right? Like the first people that I went to were my boyfriend and his roommate. And so, you know, my last deployment, I was in Afghanistan. I was the only female in the Brigade S3 shop of an infantry brigade combat team. We were a brigade of a bunch of infantry dudes. And it was like the whole shop, it was Team Ranger plus one. And I was the plus one. And I legitimately was part of the team. I know for a fact I could have gone to any one of those guys on that team and if something had happened and told them, and I know they would have had my back. So, and again, it's because I was competent and I was in shape and I fought like hell to be, you know, like from the very beginning, West went all the way through to be their equal, to prove I'm allowed to be here. I should be here. And I beat most guys in PT tests. Like, and so I think, you know, women like trust your battle buddies, and your battle buddy doesn't have to be a female. It can be the guys you work with. And trust me when I say, a lot of conversations I've had with a lot of my guy friends, probably have more guy friends than girlfriends. They want to help us and protect us and be there for us. Any one of the guys on Veteran Trash Talk, I think I could call, if I called them tomorrow and said, this happened, I think all of them would fight for me. So I think men need to understand their role in this too, in terms of being our battle buddies, being our equals, and helping us through anything. Cause if a guy came to me and told me something, I'd help him through anything. Right. So like, it doesn't have to be limited to just, oh, I have to go tell a female, or I have to go tell a mental health professional. No, your battle buddies, you could tell them too. And they should, I would really like to think for the most part, they would help. And you know, for guys watching this, like, be those guys that will help, because it's literally going to take everyone to help kind of fix this issue, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important to note that even though, you know, the whole purpose of this podcast is really to share how females have overcome a lot of these situations and traumatic experiences, it's mm-hmm. really a small portion of people doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes a huge impact. It's like having one rotten apple in a bushel of apples, you know, that rots the entire bushel.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to take that rotten apple out. And that's what we're looking for, is removing those rotten apples, but also letting people know, like, you have resources and you need to use them, like, regardless of what you think. If you think it's not, well, it's not so bad, or maybe I egged it on, or maybe it was my fault. You know, the only way, and I'm sure I'll address this later as well, but the only way that I think it's ever not okay is if you are having consensual sex and you're seeking somebody out, and then for whatever reason you feel guilty and change your mind and then turn on the guy and say, oh, well, he raped me, when it right. wasn't, when it wasn't.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, one thing I'd say to people is, listen, you've got TRICARE. Let me tell you, when you get out of the Army, medical care is expensive. So if nothing else, use TRICARE for what it's there for, and go use the crazy good resources that you have while you're in the Army. Because as at the VA, listen, some VA centers are amazing. Some aren't. And so when you've got TRICARE, find, you know, go to one source, go to your community center, go ask your unit, go to your brigade surgeon, but use the resources that you have, if nothing else, to say that you're using TRICARE for all it's worth, because those are the resources that our federal tax dollars go to. Use them. I wish I would have used more of them. I didn't go to my first therapy session until I was getting out of the Army. And I think I would have been a much more effective leader, soldier, had I been working on myself way before that.
Well, but there's a stigma, right?
And
that's why, like, if you go to sick call for your ankle hurting, that's one thing. But if you say, oh, I have a therapy session, or, you know, I mean, if that word gets out, there are going to be some of those rotten apples that give a hard time. But I definitely want to get across too that, you know, if you are active duty and seeking help and somebody is not helping you, don't stop there. Right. You know, I mean, I love, Elizabeth, that you had so much support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully that's where we can go for everybody whenever something yeah. happens or where they need help. But if you don't have that support immediately, go up the chain, because, yeah. you know, I know that you might be scared of repercussions, but you've got to take care of yourself. You know, you absolutely have to. So if that's yeah. the case, then keep moving.
I mean, on that note, the guys on Veteran Trash Talk, they're senior NCOs. And Nick will be like, yeah, I go to therapy, I go to anger management, I do this, I do that. I think it's super important for senior NCOs and officers too, because again, this idea that officers are just supposed to have their lives together. We're like the Instagram version of life. That's not true. Officers have issues too. Officers go through divorces. Officers have mental health injuries too. And so I think we need our leadership in the military to normalize and say, hey guys, I'm not going to be here. I've got marriage counseling with my wife, or I'm going to therapy. Like, I just got to talk some stuff out. I think it's super important for our leadership in the military to normalize. Like, I just remember being at Fort Riley and someone saying, oh, so-and-so, a very high ranking officer is going to behavioral health. And everyone was like, ooh, ooh. And that should have been like, oh, that's awesome.
Right.
That's the response that we should be getting. Like, oh, so he's going to get the help he needs.
Right.
And that's where we need to go. So I think it's super important for leadership from squad to platoon, to company, to battalion, to normalize it and say, hey, yeah, today's like my behavioral health day. I'm going in. I just need 1 hour.
Right.
And I think it'll start there and hopefully trickle down where it no longer is the stigma of they're crazy. Like, no, you're not crazy. It's just the way your shoulder can hurt. Stuff can be going on inside your brain too. And it's completely normal. It's okay. Especially during COVID, if people haven't at least acknowledged that mental health is important, then, you know, maybe we should talk to those people. But I mean, I think, like you said, command teams, but not even just command teams. It's your squad leader, your platoon sergeant, everyone can normalize going to just seeking help.
Right. Well, it actually takes bravery and strength to do that.
To go. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, other than like, people are always like, you know, oh, you're weak, you know, whatever. But it's actually takes a lot of strength to stand up and admit that that's something that you need. And mm-hmm. then, of course, to be able to fight for it if you need to fight for it. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I had situations where even with, like, when I was getting out of the Army and the mandatory ACAP was denied to me. So, like, I get it, those issues when you're not, like, you're not getting the help that you need and you don't have that support. I totally understand that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you get out of the military, nobody cares about you from the military. Do you know what I mean? Besides the friends that you've made, but right. like whomever is giving you a hard time or like didn't let you go ACAP or didn't let you go to behavioral health, like they're gone and you have to take care of you. So mm-hmm. you've got to start it while you're in the system, if possible. If you're not already there, then, you know, make sure you know the resources that are available. So,
yeah. And I think it's important to for everyone to know. I mean, I just remember thinking like, well, I can't go. I was a company commander at the time. I was like, this is my responsibility. This is my job. But on the flip side of the coin, if I'm not taking care of myself the way that I should be, how am I supposed to be a better, like, how do I become a better leader? It's like, if I'm not doing PT, how am I going to be able to go do PT with my guys? Or how am I going to be able to stand in front of my unit and say, I passed the PT test. Can you, right? Like, you're supposed to set the example. So as a commander, I didn't take care of myself because I was so concerned with taking care of others. But by doing that, I wasn't giving them the best version of myself either. So taking care of number one is not a bad thing. You need to do that in order to be the leader that the Army wants you to be and that you can and should be. But you can't do it when you leave. You got to do it the entire time. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to balance everything. I get it. The stigma makes it even harder. The idea of asking for help is scary. Sometimes you don't even know you need it. But I mean, it's not going to hurt you to go and talk to someone. I promise you that. And if you walk out of there in tears, which I cry a lot. I mean, I don't know why I cry, but I'm an emotional person. That's not a bad thing either. And I think I talked to a buddy the other day. Ranger Regiment guy, super tough. He's like, yeah, just going to therapy means you have to be vulnerable, which goes against like what I've been taught to be this whole time. And I get that.
Right.
But if you're not vulnerable, you're not going to be your best self. And that's, you know, you might not realize it until a couple of years down the road, but you weren't your best self. You didn't perform your best because you were trying to like ignore a bunch of stuff.
Right.
So I get it. It's tough.
That wounds fester if they don't heal, and you cannot pour from an empty cup. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. All right, Elizabeth, do you have any parting words? I know we're kind of coming down to our time. I really appreciate this. I love it.
I know. Something
is sparking for them. So.
Yeah, I mean, I really want, you know, women and men, because men get assaulted just as much, if not more than women, report it. That's all I really can say is report it, whether it be anonymously or not, but report it, because in my situation, if you don't, they'll most likely keep doing it. And so they're just going to exponentially spread the trauma, but also because you owe it to yourself to report it so that you can get better and you can move past it. And again, so we can get rid of those bad apples and have it stop being this shadow over the entire, you know, service member group, when really it's not the whole army, it's not the whole military. It's these small bad apples that are just really poor representation of who we are as a community. And because people like you and I don't deserve to have to go through stuff like that. So if you can do it to avoid people like us having to go through it a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, then take solace in knowing that you're being a really amazing leader by preventing things from happening down the road. So I would just tell people that if they can just find that sliver of courage, because it does take a lot of courage, report it and have the system hopefully work the way that it's supposed to.
Awesome. Yep. I was going to say that too, where, you know, you were angry for a long time about those other ladies that didn't report it. But looking back on it now, I hope that you can see what good you did by starting that. So then they can kind of follow you and know that they're not alone. So, you know, you never know by your reporting it, who else you are helping, just like what you're saying. And I mean, you can report it as restricted or unrestricted. So you don't have to give your name if you don't want to do that. But just the fact that you've said, hey, this is wrong, this is what happened, and then it gets him under the radar, because it's generally, you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. You just might be the only one brave enough to speak up. So.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I so appreciate you. I know you're going to be on with me more in the future.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to do a lot more, just kind of, you know, we really got into some good conversation the other day, just kind of going back and forth about some stuff. And I want to be able to share some of that stuff too. I know there are a lot of women out there that can relate with us and I'd be like, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. It was awesome. If I can help anyone, even just like, they take the slightest bit, I'm pumped. I think that's what it's all about.
Yes. If we can just help that one, that's what it's for. So thank you again so much for your time. And thank you guys for listening and watching. And until next time, we'll see you later.